Teaching, probably one of the most profound titles that one can have, and that is to preach and talk on. And we're calling our teaching today Partakers of Almighty God. Partakers of Almighty God. And if someone can write one or two of these things down, because we don't seem to have our monitors online at the moment this morning, it would be much appreciated. We're calling it today, Partakers of Almighty God. And I'm basing our teaching today from 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses, through 1 to 4. This is Paul's introduction opening to this second epistle that he wrote to the church. And we're looking at chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who created us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And that is where I'm basing this teaching this morning, from verse 4, which clearly reveals to us that we are partakers of Almighty God, or we're partakers of his divine nature. You know, as I was preparing this, I thought to myself, what a statement. This is so profound that there aren't words enough to express what the apostle is saying here in encouraging the saints, and indeed encouraging us, that we are partakers of his divine nature. In other words, he says not only that, but that we are partakers of the promises of God in his word. And this is what sorts out the men from the boys. The question is, are we partaking and experiencing that nature that is in us now through the new birth in receiving Christ as our Lord and Saviour? But not only that, that we are feeding off the promises of that very nature that lives, resides in us, that has promised to us through Jesus Christ these great promises that are found in his word. None of this can be divided. If we have received him and of his fullness, then we are open to receiving also the promises that are in God's word, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. None of this can be separated. Therefore, the Christian life and walk is not just merely in words, but it is in deeds. It is in action. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to live a supernatural, miraculous life. And indeed, we need that life to be able to live this life and to be able to overcome the spirit of this age. Remember that the God of this world, the Bible tells us still at the moment, is Satan himself. And therefore we are a prime attack by the powers of darkness. And he is always trying to get us to retract. He's trying to get us to compromise. He's trying to get us to make friends with the world and so on. But that is why we need to be empowered, baptized by the Holy Spirit, so that we can overcome the weaknesses and in certainly the spirit of this age. And this is why I'm calling this teaching this morning, Partakers of Almighty God. And indeed, this is a real profound statement. Now, the prosperity teachers will say amen to these verses, and particularly to verse 4. They like this statement, and they probably will, all of those who've had a lot of this teaching will have this verse underlined and so on. And maybe we have this verse underlined, and rightly so, if it speaks to you. And many will go on and they will teach this, and they will say amen to this. But to really understand what verse 4 is really about, you have to also apply obedience. Obedience to God, his standard, his word, and so on. And at that point, you will miss out on most. Most will leave you on that point. They like the idea of prospering. They like the idea of being partakers of God's promises and living a prosperous life. But when also what is required is faith and obedience, this is where you start to lose most. Because you have to be empowered by Almighty God. You have to have this new nature. You have to be born again to be able to appropriate, to be able to live the standard that is required, not only in God's word, but as we read also in verse 4. You see, at this point, when you start to appropriate that all the promises of God are free but not cheap, you will start to find that many believers will start looking for a different church and a different preacher, where they will water it down because they want to hear that God will bless them every day, everything they do, and everything they put their hands to. That is what they want to hear. But they don't want to hear that we have to live a holy and righteous life. They don't want to hear that God has to work in us, both to will and do, for his good pleasure. They want God on their own terms, on their own thinking and their own understanding. And this is why we have to be partakers of his divine nature. And that is the difference. You see, God knows how to rightly divide light and darkness with his word. Because his word is that sword, it is a two-edged sword, and it pierces and it divides light from darkness. This is why we need to be partakers of Almighty God. You see, this is where they part from Scripture. And this is where they try to misapply and appropriate it to their own carnal mind and thinking. And this is why we need a new mind, a mind that's been renewed by the Holy Spirit. For we cannot understand the Word of God unless God opens our eyes to be able to see that word. Otherwise, it is hid from us, and we'll give just our carnal interpretations that just speak to us, our own life, and what we think. What we think about the Word of God has nothing to do with God's divine order and standard. If born again, we yield over to the Holy Spirit's teaching, and He will teach us His Word every time. Hallelujah. Sadly, as we see, some are given the gift to hear and some are not. And sadly, some have to be bounced from the room. But I was speaking those words to hope to give that person a chance to be able to hear. Because I take the Word of God very seriously. And the reason I take it seriously is because for some, it is life, and for others, it is death. And I'm always saddened when we have to bounce somebody from the room. But we can have a chance that those whoever we bounce from this room, we have a chance to be able to lift that name, that person, before the mercy seat of God. Because maybe no one else may ever pray for them. And brothers and sisters, we're here today because somebody prayed for us. So whoever comes into the room or causes disturbance or problems or whatever, let us have the heart of Jesus, how He would deal with them. And if we sadly have to bounce them from the room, and sometimes we do, let us find ourselves praying for that person. Because I believe that's the heart God wants us to have in this room, for whoever comes into this room. So we're talking about partakers of Almighty God. You see, we need to recognize God's provision. How and when He does it. And we get this, don't we, this understanding, as we look again back in verse 4. Which He says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we are told that the promises of God enable us to experience the divine nature that is in us, that can empower us and help us to what? To flee the corruption of the world and through its lusts and so on. So our experience, our understanding of Almighty God in our lives, and our partaking of the promises of God are absolutely paramount in this. And this is why we make so much about the promises of God, which are promised to us. You see, verse 4 tells us we are partakers of the divine nature through His promises. That is the Word. In other words, we are partakers. We partake of God's Word. Now, this word, to be a partaker, is an interesting word, because we get this word, this understanding, from the Greek word koinonia, which we also know as meaning fellowship. It means that we are a partner in this. We take part in this. So the promises of God's Word, His divine nature that lives in us, means that we are a partner in this. I partake of this. This is also a part of me. And it means that in this fellowship, we fellowship together. We have one mind, one heart, one purpose, one aim. Everything that God is, I am also. I am in complete harmony and agreement with God who lives in my life. And that it can only be the foundation and spirit for true fellowship and unity also to be found in the house of God. This is what we build our life upon, for the purpose that we can escape and not be held through the world and its lusts and its ways. In other words, it is great deliverance from idols, idolatry in our lives. Because when we befriend the world, we partake in idolatry. And this, of course, is what God was always trying to work with Israel. Israel's chastisements mostly were because of idolatry, befriending the world, preferring the world to God. And the world has its gods. Baalism, of course, was the chief god under the old covenant, deceiving Israel. But it's still the same principle, still the same problems. Demons don't change. There's nothing new under the sun. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work that separation in our lives, that so that we're wholly set apart unto Almighty God and Him alone. So God's nature in us enables us to partake, and that is not only in that nature, but in His promises that He makes to us. These promises that He makes to us agrees with Him, agrees with His nature who lives within us. You can't separate any of this. So that when we read these promises and we bring these promises out to you through the teachings week after week, this is why we agree with it, and our agreement is Amen. This is why I'm all for making a sound, getting excited about when we hear the Word of God preached, saying Amen to it. Yes, thank you, Jesus. I receive that in Jesus' name. We need at times to get a bit more excited about what we hear. Or are we becoming a bit dull of hearing? Oh, I've heard it all before. Nothing much is going on in my life. Well, that may be the problem. You're not rejoicing and thanking the Lord. You're not appreciating that which you are receiving week after week, which are the promises. They're very important. That nature has to be worked into us by God's grace and mercy. That nature that we have received is worked into us by the cross that we daily take up and follow. In other words, that nature that we partake of is producing those godly habits in our lives. Godly ways, fleeing the world, its lusts, no longer partaking of it. That is what we have received into our life when we receive His nature. And these promises that we labor in, that we speak about, that we show you, are working that nature in us. Now, of course, we have that nature, the same as we have His fullness. We have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but our problem is we still don't believe it at times. There's still those areas of unbelief and hardness of heart that God is working with us and through us. And that is why we present the cross. Very few today in preaching and teaching present the cross as the Bible presents it. But we trust by the mercies of God that we don't water it down, however our view or feeling may be towards that teaching. We know that if you desire to take up that cross, the Holy Spirit will do the rest. He knows how to crucify. He knows how to crucify the areas of the flesh that still wants its way for the purpose of His nature shining and living through you and me. The world needs to see Jesus loving, living through you, through your eyes, through that new creation that you are now. They need to see him. They need to see his love. They need to see his healing power. They need to hear his words. This whole salvation, this whole walk that we have, God, isn't about us anymore, or my needs, my wants, my getting away with things. This is why we're talking about being partakers of Almighty God. And this is why the prosperity teachers have got verse 4 so wrong. This prosperity teaching has caused more divisions in the house of God than anything over the last 30 to 40 years. And yet God wants to prosper us, which I'm going to show later on in this teaching, and you'll be quite surprised. So with that introduction, I'm going to look at six areas which we're going to look at. And the first we're going to look at is we have to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us God's provisions, which often will need sometimes deliverance. Now, when I say about these provisions and I also embark on deliverance, we're not necessarily meaning casting out demons, although it's often spirits that hinder us from either hearing or hinder us from obeying God's will in whatever he's showing us with regard to the promises of God. You see, all these promises have a condition. And I can tell you what that condition is. It's obedience. But demons don't like Christians obeying God. And that is why you find you are buffeted. That is why you find you go through the trials at times that you go through. But we rejoice in those trials because our vision is that these trials, this trial or the trial you've gone through this week, has worked deliverance in me for the purpose of obeying Almighty God so that I can experience the divine nature of God in my life and to be blessed by the promises that are in God's word. Now, if you can keep your trials, whatever the nature they may be, positive, and see and have a vision of the end result that's going to come out of this trial, then you can keep a great heart and attitude in it. And you will find yourself praising and rejoicing God. And indeed, I might add this one. Why should we not have trials? Why do we assume that we don't have trials? It's a very good question. We do have them. But our trials that are different from the world's trials, because the world goes through trials. Believe me, they do. You only have to listen to the news or read newspapers, although I don't recommend that. But our trials, we can look at them in a completely different light. And that is the difference. Because our trials are fundamentally getting us to obey God, which we're not very good at doing. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us God's provisions. And very often, his provisions are there when you come through that trial. What is that provision that he so often does? We call it blessings. When we come out of that dark tunnel, when we come out of that impossible situation, we then come into the light of his presence. And there we are blessed. There he shows us his heart. You endured, you stayed with it. And we just pick up the Father's heart that he is pleased. He's been able to accomplish something in your life. And do you know what pleases him? We don't look at it like this. But what he sees, what pleases his heart, I've worked obedience in my child. That is what pleases the Father more than anything. And yet that is the very thing we run away from. We don't want to hear about. And yet that is what pleases his heart more than anything. So there we are. That is the first one. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us God's provisions. And very often, to receive those provisions, there firstly has giants have to be removed from the land. Your giants that you fear have to be removed in order for you to be a partaker of God's provisions. You see, giants don't want you to enter the land of promise. We know that by the children of Israel, how they failed to enter in and receive the blessings of the land. Well, God isn't going to have that. God isn't going to have that with the overcomers, with FGA. You stay with it and you will be a partaker. You will be blessed by the land that God has promised and given to the overcomers. For it is a good land. It is a land with milk and honey. It is a land of provision. Hallelujah. Can everybody hear me? Yes, we've got sound. Praise God. Well, the enemy is trying. Probably doesn't like this teaching. That God's promises are that we have a meeting today online. That is God's promise. And so we just believe it. Do we not? Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I continue with this. Well, dealing with talking about partakers of Almighty God. The second area that I want to look at with regard to this, we've just been talking about allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us God's provisions. Now, secondly, in this, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to change our confession. We so often keep saying, I can't afford it. I can't do it. How many times does I can't come out of our confession each day? Because it's one of the worst lies that we say. Many times we are not lining our confession with God's word and God's promises. These are the worst type of lies. And God doesn't like liars. And it should never come out of the overcomer's mouth. If we are partaking of God's promises, then it should affect what we're saying. That is the whole point. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to change our confession. And the only way that can be achieved is to ask the Lord to make you sensitive to what comes out of your mouth, what comes out of your confession. Ask the Lord to make you sensitive, especially in a trial. Because it's in the trial that we actually speak out what is really within our hearts. That's why so often, as we know, God permits us to go through these trials, because these trials, as I said, are to work obedience in us. And that obedience very often is achieved by the changing of our confession. The changing of our confession in that trial. The trial is to work in you to harmonize your confession against all obstacles, against everything you feel, you see, you hear, you touch, which is completely contrary to confessing God's word. Why? Because logically it looks ridiculous, stupid. How often have we felt and looked stupid in our trials when we confess what God says? Well, there should be nothing new to that. We should be getting used to that by now, because whatever God requires of us in our trials is always going to look illogical. It's going to look stupid. But are we going to let our confession still confess what we see, what we feel, what we hear, and our emotions? Or are we going to hold on to what God has promised in this trial that I'm going through? Whatever your trial is, whether it is financial, whether it is physical, whether it is emotional, whether it is because people are lying about you, or you have been rejected, or you're going through a trial at work, or you're having problems in your marriage or with your children, what are you going to confess? That is the question. And so your trials are to ultimately work obedience, and obedience is certainly confessing God's promises in that trial. That is ultimately what God is working for. And it doesn't matter what the consequences are. It doesn't matter what they say, or whether they laugh, or whatever it would be. If we are taking our cross daily and following the Lord, what is that to a dead person? It should be like water on a duck's back. But every time we find ourselves still being affected or influenced by what others are saying, you can still be well assured God's still having to work with you and whatever it is you're going through. God doesn't get this wrong, brothers and sisters. He wants to bless you abundantly. He wants to bless FGA abundantly, above all that which we can even think or conceive or can confess. But it will only ever be achieved, brothers and sisters, as we obey and yield to His standard. And His standard can only be achieved and kept by that new nature that you now partake of, which is Jesus in your life. As He has overcome all things at Calvary, so you now can overcome all things by the life of the overcomer that now lives in and through you. This is how it works, brothers and sisters. So no longer can we say, I can't do this, I can't afford this. I have flu today, or I have this bad cold. Well, the symptoms indeed may be there, but the question is, do they belong to you? Do they belong to the divine nature that now lives in you? Because no sickness is found in that divine nature. No lie is found in that divine nature. no lust, hate, resentment is found in that divine nature. And I could just go on. You can add your list to that. It's not to be found. The question is, are you settling for second best, that it's still found in me? Oh, well, you know, God knows. He knows my weaknesses and everything. Yes, he does. But what he wants you to know is these promises that you say you believe in and that you partake in, and yet you still don't really believe. You see, it's not about how much theology you know. It's not about how much scripture you can confess and memorize and so on. And believe me, that has its place. What I love about God is where the cross is, the playing field is level for all. Whatever your education, your background, your creed, whatever, every one of us who are partakers of the divine nature are also partakers of God's word. And the simplest person can simply choose to believe, and that is enough for Almighty God. This is why the proud, this is why those who boast in their education and their knowledge have such problems in believing the promises of God. The problem is they have such knowledge, carnal knowledge in their minds about God's word, that they don't really know the author of that which they talk about. You see, this is all about relationship. Being partakers of Almighty God is about relationship. It's about being one with him. And if you're one with him, then you are a partaker of the divine nature and promises. Because we're told that it is a deliverance from the world and its lusts. What is the world and its lusts? Well, everything that you can think about in the world, or what the world has done to you before you came to Jesus, that is what you are delivered from. Most of us came with all our baggage, our sin, our guilt, our sickness, our depravity, you name it. That's how we came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, you are no longer a partaker of any of that anymore. Here is now what you are a partaker of. And what is it? It is the Word of God. It is that Holy Bible that you hold in your hands. And as you read it, pray over it, meditate on it, listen to it, that is what you partake of. And we have to get that from our heads to our hearts. And so when we are confessing contrary to God's word, that is the worst lie that comes out of the believer's mouth. Now, it's up to you whether you want to do something about that or not. The third area that I wish to talk about, and that is the reason we may be struggling in these areas, is because we see so much of it has gone wrong. It may be because we're looking and we've listened to others, or that brother, he was in faith, he was confessing the word of God, yet look at his life, or look what happened to him, or look at her, she was confessing that by Jesus' stripes she was healed and she's now dead, and so on. Well, the question is, what are you looking at? What are you listening to? The enemy is a master at trying to get our attention, and he will use all of these things to try and trick us, to try and get our heart, our affections away from God's word and promises and looking to circumstances. He's trying to bring you back to the world and to the lusts of the world and its lies. That's what he's trying to do. We know that our walk of faith in the natural looks like we're standing on the brink of disaster. We know that FGA looks in the natural as though it's about to go under. But what is new? That is the walk of faith. Every true believer that's truly born again walks that walk. It's contrary to the world. It's contrary to the God of this world who's blinded the eyes of most. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are far, 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 far beyond our ways and thinking or imagination. Who knows the mind of the Lord? Who knows his ways? Who knows his movements? None of us do. This is why we take our walk of faith each day and live it for this day. You have enough faith for this day to see it through, to overcome or overcome your trials. You have enough faith today to believe in these promises that are given to us, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. You have the faith today to believe in those promises. It isn't for tomorrow. Yesterday has gone. You have been empowered by the divine nature of our Almighty God to be able to believe in the promises that are found in God's word today, now, this moment. But some of you, bless your heart, you still will not to believe. You will it. And you're blinded by that. And the only way you will be delivered by that is when you bow that knee in humility. When you will break before Almighty God. When you confess it. When you confess those lies that you are saying that come out of your mouth that are contrary to God's word. When you confess that before God, then God will raise you up in his power, his might, his strength. You will begin to experience that you are a partaker of his divine nature. That it's not about you. It's about his glory in your life. When he heals you, it's about his glory. When he blesses you, it's about his glory. When he meets those finances in your life, it's about his glory. It's not about you boasting. It's not about your faith. Look what my faith has done and achieved for the kingdom of God. It's not about us. It's about the glory of God. You never chose God. God chose you in Christ Jesus. It wasn't in your heart to follow him. When is the house of God going to learn this? This is why the word of God says that judgment begins first in the house of God, and sadly it is. God sadly is having to judge his church around the world because she still boasts in her pride, her arrogance. And yet the Spirit is saying, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are naked, you're blind. You need eyesalve to be able to see. You're neither hot nor cold. Therefore I spew you out of my mouth. What an indictment. What a thing. But we can escape that. We can escape that right now. Why we have ears today to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, it is all so that we can, as it says in verse 4, escape the lusts that are found in the world. That is why we're partakers of the divine promises, so that we can be delivered from self, from the world, its lies, its deceptions. That's what it's about, brothers and sisters. But so often we're still looking, well, I've seen where it's gone wrong. I've seen where churches have gone off. I've seen what faith has done. I've seen my brother and sister who had huge debts. God didn't deliver them out of that. They had to sell their house in the end and so on. That is a lie. If things have gone wrong, and yes, they have gone wrong, then you cannot blame God, because God's promises are pure, holy, undefiled. God's promises are life to us. He cannot lie. So we need to go back and find out. It's very easy to blame something else. That's what pride will do. This is what Adam did, why he fell. He blamed the woman that you gave me. And that is man's excuse. See, there's nothing new under the sun. Human nature doesn't change. We'll always look for something, for an escape, to blame. But you cannot blame the Word of God. You cannot blame these promises. They're pure. They're holy. No blemish to them. They are promises from a father's heart to a dying people. Why die in your sin when you can receive what he has promised? Well, the fourth area that I'd like to look at. We have this attitude that it's pious, humble, to say that I've just got enough to get through this month. Somehow there's something very pious about that, very religious. But of course, that's what religious people do and say. Oh, well, you know, I had hardly any strength this week. I had virtually no money, but God got me through the week. He got me through the month, or whatever it is. Who are you kidding? Well, praise God, he did get you through. But is that how you always want to walk? Or do you want to walk in a prosperity where you are prospered by God to be a blessing not only to yourself, your family, but above all to others as well, to be a blessing to your church, to your brothers and sisters? Because I have always said that true prosperity is a blessing that gives. It is not for self, me, I, and what I can get out of it. And this is where it has gone so terribly wrong. We are to be blessed in order to be a blessing. And to be a blessing means that my month, my week has been victorious in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter whether it looks a mess. It doesn't matter whether you're still waiting on the promises of God, because they are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. You either have received by faith or you haven't. Faith knows what to do. Faith knows how to confess. Faith knows how to stand. Faith knows how to endure. Faith knows how to believe. You don't have to tell faith how to act if faith is in the heart. And all Jesus said is needed, just a mustard seed. That is why your trials will tell you whether you're in faith or not, by what comes out of your mouth. This is why God allows us to go through these trials, so that you can hear. And if you hear that unbelief, if you hear what is coming out that doesn't line up with God's word, you've got a chance to repent. You've got a chance to get it under the blood of Jesus so that he can work it in your heart. He can get that seed planted deep into you. God wants us to believe and succeed in this far more than any of you want to. That is his heart. But he wants you to know that this is achieved by being a partaker of his divine nature. There is no unbelief in the Godhead that lives and dwells in you. None at all. None at all. It's whether you choose to believe that or not. You see, this is why God will move every mountain and obstacle in order that we can believe and obey and yield to him. This is why he's the only one who can move those mountains in your life. And every believer has mountains, still has land, promised land to claim, to move into. Every believer still has giants that are trying to defy us. But Jesus says, I have overcome that. He says that he uses that in order to move those giants, to move those mountains, because he's conquered. He's overcome. He's triumphant. He's at peace. Everything's okay on his side. He just wants you to start to believe that. And that is why he gives us the promises that we can partake of in order to be able to escape the corruption that is in this world, which is unbelief, disobedience, rebellion, lies, all those things that the world partakes of. He says he's overcome that in order for you to escape that. This teaching today, we could say, is to help you to escape the lies of this world. So stop confessing what the world confesses, because it's a liar. Start to confess what God says over your life. Start to confess over your sickness, that by his stripes I was healed at Calvary. This doesn't belong to me. This fever, this flu, this cold doesn't belong to me. How many of us still confess my sickness? This is my cancer. This is my trial I have to overcome. Is it your cancer? Is that what God has promised you in the Word of God? You can decide on that. We have to line up our confession with God's Word. And the only way you will know your confession is lining up is in those trials. Because those trials are to deliver you of where you're still confessing a lie. Because it is a lie in God's sight. And God doesn't want believers lying. In fact, my Bible tells me that liars will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Fifthly, our circumstances should make no difference to God's provision. In other words, whatever you're going through, it should make no difference to God's provision, those promises. It actually has nothing to do with it. You see, we have to learn something in this walk. If the cup of water is bitter, why are you trying to change it and make it sweet? If God says for a season that this water is going to be bitter, then let him keep it such, because there is something he's going to do. There's something he's going to bring out of you, deliver you from, and yet all the while we're trying to change it instead of just remaining in that situation, remaining on the cross, just like Jesus did, not fighting, but let that death do its work, that resurrection may take over. some of us today listening to this teaching may need to just die. Stop fighting it. Stop fighting what you're hearing. Stop fighting what you're reading. Just give up. And in that death, in giving up, then that resurrection life will take over, which will be peace, deliverance, a relationship again with the Lord, blessing in your life. You see, we have to die first, and then resurrection comes, which then brings an experience of the divine nature that lives in you, which is God Himself. Hallelujah. You see, it's always in our weaknesses that we see God's provision. It's always in our weaknesses that we will see God eventually move those mountains. But we open the door, don't we, to unbelief. And when we open that door to unbelief, I can assure you what you're opening the door to every time, it's self-pity. And self-pity removes God's throne from your life. When you open the door to self-pity, no longer is God's throne on your life. No longer are you blessed, no longer are there blessings. When you open that door to self-pity, it's one of the strongest doors that we can allow to open in a Christian's life. Self-pity probably takes longer in deliverance than anything else. That is why the cross in our lives also is so essential, because it will deal with that self-pity. But self-pity will rob you from God's provision and blessing. Make no bones about it. And sixthly and finally, God will remove every prop from our lives until we see our true provisions. I'll read that again. God will remove every prop from your life until you see and experience those true provisions. If provisions are being hindered still in your life, it's because there are still props you are relying on. In other words, the arm of the flesh. A lot of people are in problems today. One of the biggest problems in the world, in society, is debt. It is going to be debt that will bring down the economies in the end, which is part of judgment. And yet it's such a huge problem. We have learned nothing in 2008 when this country, when banks nearly broke, went under. We have learned nothing. And yet everyone still takes things out on credit, in debt, thinking little of the fact that it actually has to be paid back. God wants to deliver the overcomer from debt. He wants you to be able to live and walk free from all of that, because it is a snare of the enemy. So these are the props, aren't they? These are the things that we still want to rely on. And a lot of debt is, well, I'm in prosperity. I have the very best, because God can only give the very best. And indeed He does. But He doesn't give the very best to the point where you're in debt. That is the hypocrisy of it all. It's no good giving testimonies of God's blessings if it results to the fact that you're taking out debts, borrowing money. That isn't a blessing. that doesn't line up with the Word of God. And maybe if the reason that you're in debt is because you demand that you live a good life. You demand that you have the very best of everything. That's nothing but pride. That's nothing but self, me, what I want. God gives the very best without getting into debt. You see, that's what makes it miraculous. That's what makes it so different from the world. And that's why we're to escape the world and its lusts, its corruptions. He wants you to be a partaker of his promises. And we're not yet still fully partakers, because we're not still yet believing. Let's leave with some scriptures on this before we finish. Psalm 87 and verse 7. Psalm 87 and verse 7. It's the last bit. All my springs are in you. All my springs are in you. What are you believing for? What are you holding on for? What are you confessing? What are you believing in the Word of God? He says all of it is for you. Hallelujah. What a wonderful message. What a salvation. What a gift God has given to us. Let's carry on some more. How about 1 Corinthians chapter 3? I know we know this one, but listen what the Apostle Paul says here to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and let's take it from verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. All, A double L. And finally, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards all sufficiency in all things. Sorry, let me read that again. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. What statements that are being made here? Why is it that we just don't want to confess our confession to line up with these? What is it within us that still wants to make an excuse or allow self-pity to work? What is it within us that somehow just can't embrace what God has said? Well, the only way you're going to overcome this is to be a partaker of what we're sharing with you. And you can put your name right there. You can say, yes, that is for me. That is for my brothers and sisters. That is what I line my confession up with. Whatever my circumstances, however I feel, whatever I'm going through, it all looks an absolute mess. It's on the brink of disaster, but I choose to believe and embrace and partake these promises because Almighty God lives in me. Maybe that's what God is looking from some of you. Maybe that will be your sacrifice. Maybe that will be your humbling and having to get before God and admit that things are far from right in my life. I've had my own way for too long, doing my own thing, what I want to do. It's not about me. It's about the glory of God. I decrease that he increases. Got to learn to give yourself completely, totally to him. None of self, all of him. Any independence, anything that I still want or I want my own way has got to go to the cross. A life emptied, filled with the life of Almighty God, because he wants you to experience that you are a partaker of Almighty God. And if you are a partaker of him, you are also a partaker of his word, because you cannot separate God from his word. The word of God is God, and God is his word. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for our meeting. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you, Father, for giving us life. May all of us take this word and bring it before you. May it be our prayers, our intercessions. Every one of us, Father, our name and address has been on this teaching today. I pray you have mercy over us. Father, we live for your glory. We live for the name of Jesus. We live, Father, because we now draw our life from you. You are our nourishment. You are our teacher. You are our all. Lord, may we not only be hearers, but doers of this word today. And Lord, I thank you for this fellowship. I thank you for our time together. I thank you for bringing us online. None of us are here by mistake. It's a divine appointment meeting with you. I'm simply just a vessel that is used for your glory. And Lord, be with us through this week. Preserve and keep us when we come in and when we go out. Father, help us with our confession, our belief. May our lives and our confession line up with your word. And when we speak a lie, Father, please in your mercy reveal it, that we can deal with it and get it under the blood of Jesus. We only want to live and walk for you. For this we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, thank you. It's been a blessing to have fellowship with you today. And we know our Heavenly Father, he loves us so much. He loves us so much that he's not going to withhold on anything. He wants us to really enter into all now that he's revealing and showing. Don't let's listen to the enemy anymore. Don't let's take ourselves and what we're going through, or my feelings, or my emotions, or my wants, or whatever it is, it's not important. We take ourselves too seriously. That's the problem. The one we take seriously is the one who lives in us now, and his name is Jesus.
Constancy, follow the master.